It's pretty exciting, even just watching it from afar here and just talking to Elliot Friedman a second ago. And we're envious that we're not going to be there, jealous we're not going to be there. Some of our colleagues are. It's going to be a real special night. I just watched the Emily Kaplan ESPN video on the construction of the rink, and it looks spectacular. Like, there's been a lot of right notes that have been hit here by the Seattle Kraken. You know, the first carbon neutral arena in NHL history. And you guys never fail to surprise. Let me ask you a question, though, point blank. Was there, to the best of your knowledge, any thought given to the idea of raising a Stanley Cup banner for 1917? We'll get the hockey geek question out of the way first.
Well, I think it's something that we've certainly talked a lot about, the heritage of hockey here. I can't speak to exactly of whether there's discussion about a banner going up. But I think our business side especially has done an amazing job of understanding the history of the game here in Seattle. And I think it's been a big advantage to us of introducing, you know, our team to this market here. It's not where we have to educate our fan base about the game of hockey. You look at the history going way back of hockey here in Seattle, but also in recent years, the success of junior hockey and in Everett and then with down in Kent stuff too. It's a great hockey environment here. And what's so exciting is you look at obviously our downtown rink at Climate Pledge Arena, like the details that they have. And I think a lot of people will love watching a game there, just the intimate setting that it is. You're going to feel so close to the ice. And then here, you know, where I'm calling from you right now is at our practice facility here. It's three sheets, absolutely beautiful. I think it's really going to help youth hockey in this area here. So I think in developing the game here in the Northwest, it's going to be a huge advantage.
You know, I am curious about that because, as you mentioned, the history of hockey stretches deep in Seattle. And you look at a team like, I guess the most obvious one, of the Montreal Canadiens. And I always wonder where the balance is between, you know, respecting, honoring, keeping alive the traditions of the past while still, you know, moving in a forward direction with, you know, a bunch of new players and new ideas and, yep, and working with the times. Like, how much does that, from an organizational standpoint, because you listen, like, geeks like me are going to look at that second game against Montreal and say, like, this is for the Stanley Cup in 1919. Like, okay, like, is the cup going to be in the building? Things like that, right? But I mean, how much do you weigh what has happened before, keep that tradition alive, versus what we know Seattle as right now, which is a very, you know, progressive and forward-thinking organization?
Well, I think it's a situation where you look at organizations. I think you mentioned Montreal, and I think they do a masterful job of finding that balance of always looking towards the future, but respecting and honoring the past. And who doesn't get goosebumps of watching the opening in Montreal before the players come out? And then you look at teams that have had more sort of recent success, whether it's Pittsburgh or Edmonton. I think it's always finding that balance of honoring the past and while still developing and creating history on your own here. And I think that's what, you know, Dave Haxtell's talked a lot with our players here of understanding what has happened here in Seattle, the heritage of hockey in the area, but also, you know, being a new expansion organization, having the opportunity to write history for ourselves. And I think you look at players, whether it's our captain, Giordano or Gordy or Tanev, these players understand what an honor it is to put on the Kraken jersey and be part of team number one here.
Let's talk a little bit about the team itself with Jason Botterill, assistant general manager of the Seattle Kraken. Actually, before we get there, what was attractive about this organization to you? Like, you know, after Buffalo, I'm guessing this wasn't the first phone call. Like, what about Seattle was attractive to Jason Botterill?
Well, I think just, you know, in my managerial career, it'll probably be the last time an expansion team sort of comes into the mix, and having the opportunity last year to really evaluate all the different teams throughout the league. Like, when you have your own team going, it's just so difficult. You try to get out to scout other teams, but you're always dealing with your own personalities, your own teams, whether it's in the National Hockey League or in the American Hockey League or the prospects in your organization. What was so much fun last year was, you know, scouting the National Hockey League and really understanding, you know, what every team in the league has coming up and what are their strengths and weaknesses. And then, you know, when Ron gave me the call, it was just, you know, I had the opportunity to work with him a couple of years ago at the World Championships. And at the time, you know, it was myself, Ron Francis, and Ron Hextall. And, you know, we had a great time together over in Slovakia. building that team and interacting and working together, and just sort of clicked. And just sort of something in the back of your mind, if you ever have that opportunity to work with one of those guys again, I jump at it. So, he had a couple conversations with me, and it was just always been very attractive of coming in and being able to work with Ron again. And what I was very intrigued of was, you know, the diverse sort of group that Ron had brought in from, obviously Alex Mandrecki from the analytics side, but then just you look at people that we've brought in, you know, executives from the Chicago Blackhawks, Anaheim, Carolina, myself from Buffalo, Pittsburgh. You know, it's great to see sort of best practices from all these different organizations sort of gel together as one here. So I've certainly enjoyed the experience so far, and it's going to be fun to continue to build this team moving forward here.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned Alex Mandrecki there a second ago, because I'm a big fan, and I think a lot of people are as well. And you know, she's part of a group that sort of got into NHL management through analytics. And I think of people like Eric Tulski as well in Carolina. People that you look at and you say, you know what, one day you could see these people being, you know, managers in the NHL. You know, you've sat in that chair before. I mean, you've been in management for a number of years. Whether it's Alex Mandrecki, whether it's Eric Tulski, Tyler Dello in New Jersey, like, what's like, how close are we, in your estimation, to seeing someone who got in through having an analytics website? How close are we to seeing a person come from that background to sitting in the big chair in the NHL?
Well, I think we're close on different fronts. I think, you know, you look at different barriers that have been broken in recent years. You look at, you know, the success of a European general manager and Jarmo Kekalainen. You know, I think there's a lot of different people who are very qualified to take over and run a team at the managerial level. And I can't speak for a lot of the other people that you mentioned there, but just working with Alex, her managerial skills, her knowledge of the game, her knowledge of analytics, but then also understanding everything that goes with it, in and around understanding amateur scouting, pro scouting. She does a great job with that. And I think what, you know, Ron has done a masterful job here in Seattle is obviously he knows the game extremely well, is a very good manager, but he empowers so many people below him and, you know, and getting information. And there's not a lot that goes on in this organization that Alex's opinion is not at least brought to attention and listened to. So, you know, how she's handled herself through, you know, the expansion draft and sort of us building the team is very impressive. And her entire team below her has some very good ideas from that are presented to Ron on a daily basis. So she has a very, very bright future in this this sport for sure.
Let me ask you about the team itself. And when you pull players from as many different places as Seattle has, not unlike other expansion, and obviously Vegas is the most obvious example because they're the most recent, you don't expect them to have that chemistry right away. And, you know, I don't know what the magic number is. Do you need 20 games? You need 30 games? You need 50 games? I don't know the number. Do you have, from your experience, a number in mind or a number of games in mind where you can really assess what you have? Like, I don't think we can really look under the hood right now, the Seattle Kraken, and say, this is who this team is going to be. But, like, at what point do you say, okay, now we've seen enough games, now we know what we have here in the squad? Is there a magic number for you and your team?
Well, I think it's difficult to put a magic number just because, you know, the focus right now needs to be day-to-day sort of development of our organization, development of our players, development of chemistry. And there's always going to be things beyond your control that probably elongate that date and stuff a little bit. You know, you just look from the situation that first week. Obviously, we had some issues with the COVID protocols going through from that standpoint. But then even once we got over that, like, we had probably four forwards out of our lineup that we sort of, if you'd asked us at the start of August, that we had penciled in to be part of our group. So when these players aren't in the lineup, it just adds a little bit longer to, hey, what is exactly the mix? Who works well with each other up there? And that's the challenge these days, is just trying to find the chemistry. You listen to a lot of other teams. They, hey, had a forward that they brought in from the trade market or from free agency, and they're trying to work them in the top six. And to be honest, we're trying to work in everybody in our top six and top 12, and it's still trying to figure out who has chemistry with each other. And, you know, I did really like the focus that Ron did in the expansion draft. He really focused on a lot of players that could have versatility. You look at players such as, Yarncroc or McCann or Gordy, these players that can play both center and wing. And now it's just a matter of time to sort of figure out who can sort of gel with the best with each other and try to find that mix. And, you know, I still think it's going to be an ongoing process. I've liked how we've played so far. There's obviously the one exception that the game in Philadelphia got away from us. But overall, we've been happy with how we've performed and how the guys have communicated on the road so far. And certainly looking forward to now having some home games here and playing in front of our own fans.
We're looking forward to it tomorrow night very much. When you look at your players, is there – so I think we all went into the expansion draft and said, okay, once they put this team together, let's try to find, you know, the common thread between a Jaden Schwartz and an Alexander Venberg, a Morgan Geeky and a Mason Appleton, a Jamie Oleksiak and a Vince Dunn. Are there a couple of things that you could point to that you and your group said, we need these players to be able to do X and Y or else they can't be here?
Well, I think when you look at from a standpoint of Ron and just the way he played the game, you know, obviously the mindset always was hockey sense and creativity out on the ice and being able to certainly adapt to different environments and adapt to different systems. And that's sort of what we tried to bring here. And then we looked at a lot of players who could, that we felt, you know, it wasn't always just the on-ice production what it's going to be, but how are they going to help us, you know, create a culture, create a leadership group, create how we want to work and practice. And, you know, like that's why having a player like Yanni Gourde back in our lineup, it's not only on game night, but just what he does from a practice standpoint. You know, putting a C on Giordano, just, you know, his leadership day in, day out from a practice standpoint. And that's, you know, eventually we want to see the development, obviously, on the ice in the games, but just what they're creating right now in practice as this team sort of comes together is very, very imperative. And that's something that we talked a lot about heading into the expansion draft.
Vancouver seems like it's going to be a natural rival. And, you know, there are some rivalries that are, you know, born out of geography. Geez, we have one that's been born out of a couple of offer sheets between Montreal and Carolina. And I'm sure you saw the social media last night. How quickly do you think this thing, like, we're all waiting, right? Like, we're just like, okay, Seattle and Vancouver, this is going to be a great one. But then again, I look at it and say, well, you know, we've been waiting a long time for Minnesota and Winnipeg, another border rivalry, and only now is that starting to pop. How quickly can this get going with these two teams?
Well, I think just from a geography standpoint, there's going to be the natural rivalry, and then you just look at the, obviously, some of the skill and talent that Vancouver has up there, it's certainly going to be a challenge, you know, competing with them day in, day out and stuff. But, you know, I think it's from a geography standpoint, there certainly will be the rivalry. But I think the step in all these things really happen come playoff time. Once you start having, you know, a playoff series or two playoff series, that's where the rivalry really certainly intensifies.
It does. Listen, I want to get a final thought from you on what we can expect tomorrow. I know you're not going to give away the house, but this one looks to be a really special night. Seattle and Vancouver. Can you give us a hint or put a little cheese in the trap here? What should we expect tomorrow, the unveiling of the climate pledge?
Well, I think it's just going to be the details they've put into this facilities is outstanding. And I think what's going to be so great is just the focus on hockey. Like, it's going to be tonight they have Coldplay opening up the building. I think it's going to be a great concert venue. But I think from just a pure hockey standpoint, feeling so close to the ice, I think it's going to be an amazing spot for fans to come and really enjoy the game. And you've seen it with our team so far. Like, I don't think there's many nights where we're not going to be competing hard. We're not going to try to be aggressive on the forecheck. And, so much has been put into it over the last 3 to 5 years here, getting this team here. I think it's going to be a celebration of our organization, but certainly a celebration of hockey. And I think it's just great for our sport here, for sure.
Are you going to see Coldplay, or are you getting your beauty sleep?
Well, our organization is been first class for how we treat ourselves and our scouts. So we have a lot of our scouts and myself in town here for the weekend here to go to the concert and then also obviously be here for game one. So
that's great.
It's an exciting time for a lot of people here and stuff, for sure.